Seattle Sounders, as you know, are the champions of the CONCACAF Champions League, and the city has not stopped partying. They created three earthquakes while celebrating the goals, and we do the preview of what's next to come for them this season.
Also, we break down what the Sounders need to do to win the MLS Cup. Now they have the CONCACAF Champions League trophy, but they're also looking to win the MLS Cup again. But also there's some important injuries with the team. João Paulo, what's going to happen to this MVP caliber player? And also we'll see what's going to happen to the Sounders here in Footbox USA.
You are listening to Footbox USA, an exclusive podcast from Footbox.
The Seattle Sounders FC, the only MLS Cup to win a CONCACAF Champions League in the new format. The city in Seattle, they keep the party keeps going on, but they know they have an upcoming game this weekend, so they need to really now focus on the league, and they're not in the best place because they've been focusing and prioritizing all the games for CONCACAF Champions League. But let's talk about what's happening right now in the city and also what to expect with for this club, if they're still favorites to win at all, to win not only the CONCACAF Champions League that they've done it, but also to win the MLS Cup again. With Patrick Meehan, I'm Diego Arrioja. Patrick, after the Wednesday and that historic win against Pumas, the Seattle Sounders now, they have to really focus on the league because they're not in a good place. They're in 12th place in the Western Conference. So what to expect from this club after that historic win against Pumas?
Hey, Diego. Yeah, historic, as you mentioned it. Obviously, Seattle, I bet they're still partying over there. It was actually noted, I don't know if you felt it because you were in the stadium, but it was noted that the three goals caused mini earthquakes in the city. So that tells you everything about how they celebrated those goals. And I bet the party keeps on going. But yeah, I think if a team was meant to break this type of, this ceiling for the MLS, I think Seattle Sounders was the perfect team. I mean, it's just a role model franchise, how you want things to be done. If people go, they replace them perfectly. Also, people like Lodeiro, a guy who deserves that type of prize. Also, Ryan Schmetzer, who's one of the incredible historic and obviously now even more historic coaches of MLS and US soccer in general. So Seattle, it's a perfect situation for the MLS in general, but I think Seattle really, really does deserve this title.
Well, here are the words from Brian and Adrian, both not only coach and owner. What they done with this franchise is just historic. But yeah, just going back to what happened on Wednesday and picks, yeah, I was there. I was at the after party as well, just, was able to hang out with the players, and they were so excited. They couldn't believe that it was a magical night at Lumen Field. It was honestly, it just felt different. I think the atmosphere, I had the opportunity to be at the MLS Cup final in 2019 against Toronto, but this one was just special. It felt that it was more important because it was an international tournament, and also the fans understood that. And I think that's really important to see in a city that really loves soccer. I think it's for people who don't know about Seattle, but it's wherever you go around Seattle, you'll see soccer fields, kids playing soccer. And it's just like a really, really popular sport here in the Northwest. So it's really good to see now with this result and putting the Seattle Sounders in the international map for the first time.
This has been a long time coming. He bought the club in 2002 and really has done a lot of good stuff, okay? He's very proud of you, I know that, but I'm very proud of you. This was a f-ing awesome, awesome tournament. You guys persevered when you needed to. You guys represented yourselves well. You represented the club in a very professional fashion, even Andrew. Thank you all, Nico, everybody, Captain, everybody here, thank you. It was a group effort. We needed everybody. And felicidades. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, the Club World Cup for an MLS team for this city, Seattle Sounder, who, as you mentioned, they're super well known locally, which is not like a normal thing in most U.S. cities. Obviously, the fans are definitely behind them. The record in assistance, 68,000 people were there to cheer their team on. And now we're gonna see them internationally. Seattle fans are gonna fly out. MLS teams will be on the map even way more. And now I think this is going to be an experience that other MLS teams are going to see and are going to really be like, okay, we need this for our own. So I won't imagine like Liga MX teams won't stop winning the MLS, I mean the CONCACAF Champions League, but I think MLS teams will step it up after they see that it's possible. I think an invisible barrier has been broken. This sort of mentality that we always lose against Liga MX teams is finally over, and now MLS teams are going to believe, you know, that they can do it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think this is a breaking point for the MLS versus Liga MX. Oh. And finally getting that championship for the first time in this new format is going to be historic. And yeah, I agree. I think there's going to be, I hope also from the Liga MX side, they also step it up and understand that, yeah, this is a big loss, not only for Pumas, but for Mexican soccer. And they really need to recognize how MLS has grown over the years, right? And they need to take it seriously. So I think that's going to be good for both. And yeah, for the MLS, the question is how much support they're going to get from the league. I think it's going to be unprecedented, right? Because they're going to get that support from the MLS when the tournament comes in. And we saw it also in the final stages of this CONCACAF Champions League that Seattle was able to rest, right? Versus Pumas, who actually played on the weekend before this final, right? So I think that those little details, the MLS are really taking care of it, and that's making a difference at the end of the day in terms of the performance of the team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the MLS plays as a team at the end of the day in the international level. You could see other fans also supporting the Seattle Sounders, maybe not Portland Timbers fans that much. But yeah, I mean, they really took it as a victory of their own, you know, in social media wise, and also fans worldwide or nationwide. And then I think the big question here is, so what is, well, we don't know much details yet about the Club World Cup, but I think what do you think Seattle Sounders are gonna do for the Club World Cup? Meaning, are they gonna sign players? What do you think is their strategy going into that tournament? Obviously, it's a ways to go, but you know, maybe you know a little bit more.
That's a really good question. I think right now it's hard to know, right? Because there's still a few months to go for this tournament. I think obviously we'll talk about it later, but a big loss from João Paulo that got injured in the final, that he's being a core to the midfield. We'll see, because he's basically out of the for this the rest of the season, right? So I think for now, keeping that base, we'll see how team performs in the league and potentially in the playoffs. But I think they have a really solid base. I think this is the best team, and I had the opportunity to do the pregame show on Wednesday at the final. I was talking to some ex-Sounders like Casey Keller, and he was saying, "Yeah, this is probably the most complete team I ever seen in Seattle Sounders history." Because they not only they have experienced players like Nicolas Lodeiro, Raul Ruiz Diaz, João Paulo, or Stephen Fry, but also they have young players that are stepping up. In this case, like Obed Vargas, right? The 16-year-old who actually came into play in the final after João Paulo got injured. Dani Leiva. There's a lot of youth players that are stepping up, and they're coming from the academy, right? Same as Jordan Morris. And also other younger players are able to have the opportunity. And Brian Schmetzer recognizes that the youth and the importance of bringing those young players to play professionally. So I think for now, the Sounders won't, I would say, move any pieces yet. And we'll see how the year, you know, goes by. And if there's important injuries, then yeah, that would be a time to see who can come in to you know, to the team and support it, but yeah, it's, I think right now with that base would be set up for the tournament.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and also to touch on João Paulo's injury, I mean, season ending, it's a big, big blow. I think not only for Seattle, but I think for the league in general, it's kind of like an injury that shocked the league when Joseph Martinez got injured for a whole season. I think João Paulo is that important to Seattle, that important to the league, and obviously some other guys are gonna get opportunities, and maybe, you know, good things will come out of an injury, seeing Obed Vargas playing more and stuff like that. But I think at the end of the day, it's gonna be complicated to replace a guy like João Paulo, because he does so much on the field. He recovers balls, he puts balls in, he puts his forwards in good position to attack. He's that important in the midfield. He's able to control it all, and now Seattle will have to look to maybe Obed Vargas or somebody else on the bench that will have to try and do all that.
Yeah, it's a massive loss. They're talking, yeah, about João Paulo ACL injury. He's out for the rest of the season. He was actually a contender for MVP play award last year, right, Patrick? So he
was in the best 11 as well.
Yeah, he was critical to the Sounders. I think even more than Nico Lodeiro last season, right? Because Nico Lodeiro was injured for most of the season, and João Paulo was the one who stepped up and was the leader in that midfield. I think it's really an important loss. We also even saw on Wednesday how, after João Paulo's injury, the Sounders looked pretty bad for, I would say, 15, 20 minutes, right? That's when Pumas was actually better, because they didn't know, they lost the pace and also being able to recover any balls, right, on the defensive side. So I think it's going to be an important loss. It won't be easy to cover. Nico Lodeiro is not as young as he used to and run all over the field, because I think now with that, also bringing Albert Rusnak to the team, Lodeiro's position now it's run less and just being able to serve his balls to the forwards. So yeah, I think that's the team is gonna feel it definitely. And then in terms of if the team is a contender for the MLS Cup, I would say yes. But João Paulo is going to be a massive loss, and it's going to be hard to know how the team adjusts and adapts to the rest of the season, right?
Yeah, for sure. And also because to give you guys more context surrounding this, MLS transfer window is over this past Tuesday, and it only opens up until July 7th. So if Seattle Sounders are thinking of replacing him with a signing, they have a ways to go, which in a way is a little bit of a blessing in disguise, because maybe somebody does step up and they don't need to sign anybody to replace him. But if it doesn't work out, then yeah, they'll have to wait a few months to get somebody in. And I agree with you. I think Seattle Sounders is definitely always has potential to win the championship in the MLS, but João Paulo definitely is a big blow to that. So if Brian Schmetzer finds a way to get his guys involved, the bench players involved in a good way, and try and do some of the things that João Paulo does on the field, then they'll be good. But as of now, it doesn't look likely.
Yeah, and it will be hard to replace him, but there's already this youngster that we talked about, Obed Vargas, that 16-year-old homegrown from Alaska that was able to play with the academy, and he just had the opportunity this season to play, and it's impressive to see how mature this young kid is, right, Pix? He was able to play in the CONCACAF Champions League final, but he also played before. He played in Honduras. He's been playing also in the league, and I think this kid is going to be... He has a lot of potential. I wouldn't be surprised if you know, other teams are starting to get interested, or even I don't want to get ahead of myself, but even Europe, right, for this young kid. And he already knows his potential, but he's really centered. And I think this kid can have a really groundbreaking season this year.
Yeah, exciting moments for Seattle. After winning the championships, they'll keep celebrating, but they know they have a job to be done in the MLS, because they are always, always up there. So excited to see how the season plays out for Seattle. And obviously, we'll keep you posted here on Footbox USA.
Yeah. And according to, just to finish this podcast, according to the power rankings in the MLS, Seattle Sounders are still in fourth place as the team to beat. LAFC is a favorite, Philadelphia Union second place, New York City FC, the actual champions, in third. And then Sounders with LA Galaxy, and your Austin FC, Patrick, is right there in fourth place.
Diego has put more teams in me than I do myself, but I'll take it. Austin FC is doing good.
Awesome. Patrick, thanks for being this awesome Footbox USA podcast. And remember, just download, listen to all our podcasts in English and in Spanish. My name is Diego Rioja with Patrick Meehan, and we'll hear you in the next time.
Thanks for listening to Footbox USA, an exclusive podcast from Footbox.